Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Last week, we moved into this time of our offering time, and the Lord just began to talk to me again about the importance of a declaration of what's the overflow of your heart and your mouth speaking, and how it actually begins to create something, an expectancy of what God's wanting to do in the earth, which is abundance. Let me hear you say abundance. That's not just financial, right? Financial is the lowest common denominator when you're talking about abundance, but there's an abundance of his goodness, there's abundance of his glory. And when Cornelius was just talking about for his glory, it's like, man, the Lord is wanting to release his glory into the earth, right? What does the scripture say? It says the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the oceans, right? So there's something, there's this expression, and what the earth is waiting for is for the people who God's placed on the earth to actually make a declaration of faith that would open up the glory to be able to pour in. And a lot of times we think we're waiting for God to do something, and God's going, no, once you do what I've already given you the capacity to do, which is to glorify my name and to begin to step in and make some declarations. And so I want y'all to stand up with me real quick before we go into this thing. And I just want to make, we're not receiving an offering. You can give throughout the month to be able to do that. We have our offering boxes on in. You can give online. But I really want to go after these declarations here. So if you can give me that first declaration, Mariah, I'd appreciate it. And then what we'll do is don't repeat after me. Let's read them together. Amen? All right, so let's go after this together. As we receive today's offering and expansion gifts, we are believing God for giftings and mantles released, power to gain wealth, city transformations, positions and promotions, houses that we did not build, land and the resources under it, irresistible influence, heavenly strategies, funds for assignments, increase for our children, finding money, supernatural courage to slay giants, jobs and better jobs, angelic involvement, and over-the-top sales and commissions. May God be gracious to us, bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your ways may be known upon the earth, and your saving power among the nations. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Come on, celebrate that. Yeah. So y'all can have a seat. Here's what I want to challenge you to do is find declarations, and not just financial, but you heard in this thing, it's talking about transformation of cities. It's talking about transformation of nations. It's transformation of families. And what this is, it's the ecclesia actually becoming what God intended on the earth, right? Do you know that where you sit in your neighborhood is strategically positioned to be able to have influence? And I love that one saying that says irresistible influence. It's the goodness of God or the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. So he wants to bless you and let his goodness flow to you, but it must flow through you. And all of a sudden, you're going to have your neighbors going, I don't know what's going up with you. The economy's weird. Politics are weird. You're always joyful. You're always happy. Your kids are actually excited about things. Like, what is going on? And you can just say, look, it's the goodness of God in my life, and it's available for you too. Can I pray for you? In fact, here's what I want to challenge you. Begin to pray over them now. Begin to declare over them now that they would prosper, that they would begin to it, so that when they ask you, go, you know what? I've been already praying over you. I've been praying for you. And here's a funny thing. A lot of times people hear that and go, oh my gosh, they're on assignment to make sure I get saved. Well, that's going to be a benefit. Just hear me on this thing. But no one wants to be a project, right? When you go like, hey, no, I've been praying for you to be blessed. I've been praying for you to be healthy. I've been praying for you to be whole. I've just been releasing God's goodness. It's going to cause them to go, why? I've never given you anything. I've never done anything for you. And it's this ability to be able to point them back to the Lord and say, no, it's his kindness. It's his goodness that leads to repentance. Repentance is not just about going one direction and going the other. It's not behavior modification. Repentance is changing the way you think to come into alignment with the mind of God. And then what happens? How does God behave as he thinks? In fact, there's a proverb that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what I would propose to you is that we too often use that in the negative rather than going, how does God think? And so how am I going to think in alignment with him? So I am according to the way that the Lord thinks. And so it's this opportunity for us to go into refreshment, into blessing. We must make sure that we're moving into a place where we're not so concerned with the darkness that we're combating, we're shadow boxing all the time. This is not what you're against. One of the challenges with the political spirit is the political spirit will come in and make it all about what we're against, not necessarily what we're trying to bring into society. Policies and procedures are for the blessing of the people, not just for the policy itself. And the political spirit will actually keep you from being able to step into for the benefit of the nation or the nations that we're trying to bless. The religious spirit will try to get us into a performance base. You have to work really hard in order to earn the favor of God or the love of God or the blessing of God or the approval of God. And there's too much of a religious spirit out there. And our neighborhoods are needing to see what? The kingdom spirit. The spirit of the risen God coming into this place. So it's not about what we're against. It's what we're actually bringing to establish. It's not about what you tear down. It's actually about what we're building up. What's interesting about this is that there's a scripture, and I wasn't even going to go there, but we completed a baseline yesterday, and it was an amazing time. We had over 30 folks that came. I just really was blessed to watch their hunger and their thirst pressing into the goodness of the Lord. And I know there's things that are happening. And there's a verse that talks about with deliverance that we use a lot of times, which would be like, you know, how do I cast out the spirit? And the spirit goes out to the dry desert place and it doesn't find a place to rest. So it comes back to the original house, which is a type and shadow for yourself. And it finds it cleaned up, but empty. Let me hear you say cleaned up. Cleaning up is what I got rid of. But if I'm not filled up, if I'm not built up, it says this, it will find seven other spirits worse than itself, and it will come back into the place because it can refill it. It's not about what we kick out. It's about what we build up inside of us. And when you have the chief Holy Spirit that comes inside of you and begins to build inside of you, guess what? It really doesn't matter what the enemy is. He can come back with 100 spirits that are worse than the last one you dealt with, and there's no room. You can say no vacancy. Right? No vacancy. You have no place to rest. In fact, I have the authority to send you to the dry place again. So just go unpacking. You can't go to my neighbor's house. You can't go to this person's house. You go back to the place that Jesus prepared for you because it's not here. It's a mindset shift of freedom. It's a mindset shift of expectancy that what we have is actually good news. It's not just good news about someone. It's transformative in its nature. And it's important that we settle in our hearts that we have been redeemed. If you're born again, say I am. And we must settle in our hearts once and for all. I have been redeemed completely, fully. It was for freedom that Christ set me free. I am free. And the things that come back at me, they're just phantom pains of the old man that died with Christ. It's not who I am. I am in him, and he is in me. And so when those phantom pains come back, I go, no, I've actually dealt with you. You're just an old thing. Stay buried, stay dead. So that I can take the testimony of the old things and say, see somebody else in culture or society. See somebody in your workplace. See somebody in your school. And all of a sudden you go, hey, I know exactly what it felt like to walk through that season or that process and what it is. And now I'm a walking testimony. In fact, Paul says, you are my walking epistle. You're my living epistles. What's the word for epistle? It's a letter. You're my walking letters of the testimony of the goodness of God, the transformation in my life. And so this is where God's moving. I just felt like the Lord says, it's time to be refreshed. It's time to move into a place of expectancy. That doesn't mean shoving down. If you're going through a difficulty right now, just shoving it down and pretending it doesn't exist. What I'm telling you is bring that thing immediately to the blood of Jesus and allow the blood of Jesus to saturate it and have its way with it so that your heart can be transformed. It struck me yesterday. We're going through baseline. And the verse that we're in Revelation where it says, behold, I stand at the door knocking, and anyone who opens up the door, I will come in and have fellowship, intimacy, connection with them. And that's certainly, we can use that for a place of salvation. That's a true statement. Jesus is knocking on doors of hearts of people and waiting to be invited in. But the main context of that was to the church. He was writing a letter to the church. is saying, hey, I'm standing at the door. I want to come into this place. And here's the image I had, because we were dealing with some hurts and pasts and pains, places of bondage where the enemy had breakthrough before. And when I had this picture was, is like this door, and it's like one of those creepy, imagine like a horror movie, you hear the, you know, it's just kind of like going back and forth, is that really creaky, creepy sound on there. And what it was is we were talking about open doors. What were some open doors in your life that allowed the enemy to come in and actually occupy them? And now in its place is trauma. Trauma is allowed to sit there, a hurt, pain, wound, whatever it may be, a lie that you've believed. It's allowed to be in this place. And I saw Jesus say this, there should be no places inside my people's hearts that are allowed to have a creaky door anymore. I just don't know. I'm just going to close. Oh, well, that happened to me. It's there. And I just don't know. I'm just going to close that door and because I don't want to think about it. I don't want to remember the feeling. I don't want to deal with it anymore. If I just close that door and I barricade it, the devil that's in it won't be able to get out. The problem is this. The devil's already in it. You are not built to be a segmented person. Your personality is not meant to be. When you have repressed or suppressed memories like that that have not been brought to the blood of Jesus, it actually has a permission to create psychological and emotional breaks. And what the Lord is wanting in salvation, sozo, is saved, healed, and set free. He sets you at peace. Let me hear you say peace. Peace isn't the absence of conflict. It's actually the establishment of wholeness. When God comes in, he brings shalom in the Hebrew. It's wholeness. There's no area where you're fragmented whatsoever. And what I saw is Jesus says, if you'll just invite me, he walked up to the door, the creeping door, and he kind of went, can I come in? And when he was invited into the door, he actually dealt with the wound and the hurt. He actually dealt with the demon that was able to sit there and go, let me take you out. And we, boom. And now let me come in. Let's clean this up. And I'm going to fill this room now. This memory that you're going to have is no longer a traumatic memory. The memory you're going to have is the memory the moment that Jesus walked into the room and everything changed. When he walks into the rooms of our memories, our minds, our hearts, the current circumstances, everything changes. It's transformed completely and wholly. And so we must become a holy, whole people. Completely whole, sanctified for him. And so if there's any areas, like today I felt like the Lord says, I'm going to set my people free in a way they've never been free before. I'm actually going to refresh them in a way you've never been refreshed before. He says, rivers of living water. He talks to the woman at the well and says, if you only knew who you were talking to, you would just ask me and I would release within you rivers of living water. Rivers. Let me hear you say rivers. I love the Guadalupe River. It goes a long way. We get the tube, but the water gets low. When we were in Redding recently at the Bethel Leaders Advance, the Sacramento River runs through, and it is long, and it's wide, and it's deep, and it's swift. There's a lot of water running through the Sacramento River. And I just felt like sometimes we think rivers of living water, and we think of a dry creek. You know, we live in the hill country where we have flash floods. It's dry until suddenly you have a deluge, and then for a moment, it's a rushing water, but then it goes back to being dry. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about the Sacramento River, the Mississippi River. He's talking about large volumes of water, the refreshing waters, his word flowing through you, his grace flowing through you, his goodness flowing through you. Nothing can, when you have swift water, here's the thing, trash can't settle in a swift river. The only time trash can settle is when the water stops. So when the devil throws trash at you or junk at you and you've got rivers of living water flowing through you, it might land on the water for a moment, but it's going downstream, right? It's getting out of your life, and this is the point of where we're at. We need to walk in this place of freedom and healing. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to just one passage of scripture, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I talked a little bit about this yesterday in Baseline, but this word has been boiling in my heart for a couple weeks now. And I knew there was going to be a time I was supposed to release it on a Sunday, and yesterday it was just made it so clear. If you're there, say I am. I'm going to be reading now the New American Standard Version, the 2020 version. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm just going to read through it, and I'm going to come back and unpack it. I know I say that all the time, and I end up unpacking it as we go, but I'm really going to try to be there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's let that soak in for a moment. The word of God is powerful when it's declared. Let's go back to verse 1 again. We're going to unpack it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying? Jesus justified me. He sanctified me. He paid the penalty for me. I've already been justified. I'm actually worthy of the calling of a saint because Jesus justified me, and now there's peace. Let me hear you say peace. Peace means it's an absence of the thing that actually made you unwhole. Now, in heaven, that's true, but often here on the earth, because remember, you're a spirit, soul, and body. When you're born again, the moment you're born again, your spirit is born again alive in Christ in heavenly places. It's seated with him. That's wholly you. It's completely you. It's not another you, but the you were always created to be is alive in Christ in heavenly places. It says you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your spirit is born again. The reality is this, is our soul, our mind, our will, and emotion is still caught up in the clutter of what's going on in the earth. Whether that be in society, current circumstances, or the things that have happened in our past, we have to reconcile. We have to bring our soul into alignment with what is true of our spirit. And so when it says this, we have peace. The reality is this, your soul, your mind and will and emotions will never have peace unless your spirit is made whole in him in heavenly places. So the moment you're born again, that is true. Now I need to apply. What was the prayer of Jesus? Pray as it is in heaven, here on the earth. Does it have to happen out there? Yes, 100%. But you are made of dust. You're made of earth, right? So first, as it is there, your spirit born again in unity with the Holy Spirit, now it's here in the earth of your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions resides in your body. It needs to come into this place of peace. So look what it says again. Having been, it's a past tense, you have been justified. If you've not been born again, you haven't been justified yet. This is why we've got to preach the good news of Jesus so that people can be justified in the eyes of the Lord. What's justification? It's not that you have to work for your salvation to prove that you're good enough. None of us could be good enough. But Jesus was good enough to come and say, I will die in your place so that you can actually be born again in my place. It's this invitation. So having been justified, we need to come into this place of what that means. We actually have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained. Let me hear you say obtained. What does that mean? You possess it. You can take possession of something, whether you use it or not is another choice, but you already have possession of it. Sometimes we're crying out for God. Say, God, I need your peace. I need your hope. I need your this. I need this, this, and this. He's like, well, you've already obtained it. Now, are you going to choose to use your mind, will, and emotions to appropriate it, to apply it, to utilize it, to put it into work in action? This is why when James says works without faith without works is dead. He's not saying you're justified by works, but what he is saying this is you say you have faith in Jesus Christ, but there's not an outflow of your life, you're probably not actually saved. You had a head knowledge, but you didn't have a heart transformation. Heart transformation will always, always, always have an outflow of what's been transformed. The overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, and in the same way, the overflow of the heart, your action, your body will actually engage with it. And so we're coming to this place of what have I already obtained? What have I obtained? An introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Let me hear you say grace. This is going to be some fundamental teaching to our church, and you've probably heard it before if you've been here. But I'm going to say again, grace is the empowering agent of God. Grace is the empowerment of God that allows you to do what is humanly impossible. And so you've been introduced into, by faith, this grace in which you stand in it. So this tells me is this, I must not just lay down on it. I have to take a stand in the grace that's been given to me. I have to position myself. Those that played sports, we always talked about whether it's basketball, football, baseball, soccer, hockey, any of the sports, it's tennis. You talk about the stance that you have to take that's appropriate for the sport or the position that you're taking. We used to say, I coach Little League basketball, and it could be frustrating at times on this too, because you're like, okay, you can't wait for the ball to go by you and then move. You have to be in a defensive stance already. You have to be waiting for them and ready to move. And they just be standing there going like this, and right? You have to have a stance. You have to take a stance. So what's the empowerment that God's given you? Are you standing in it? Are you preparing yourself? Are you prepped for God to empower you to do the humanly impossible? Okay, let me try it over here. Are you standing? Are you prepped? Are you prepared? Are you standing ready to be empowered by God to do the impossible? This is where we have to engage our faith. This is where we have to engage an intentionality. You've already obtained it. You have an introduction by faith into grace. You've only been introduced to grace. You have to actually apply grace. I was introduced to my wife a long time ago, but until I asked her out, it didn't matter the introduction I had. I had not obtained the intimacy with her. I had a ring in my pocket, and until I asked her to marry, we weren't going into covenant. I had obtained a ring, but when I knelt down and asked her to marry me, then we entered into something. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've been introduced into this thing. Now it's time to actually apply this thing. Look what it says. So through whom we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now what follows that? We celebrate in hope of the glory of God. Let me hear you say celebrate. We celebrate in the hope. And so what kind of way this is written would be, we celebrate in hope that the glory of God comes. That's not what it says. We celebrate in hope. What's hope? Hope is the confident expectation that God is who he says he is and that he will always do what he says he will do. Hope, the confident expectation that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. And so what we come into this place is hope is not wishful thinking. I celebrate the fact that I've actually obtained salvation. I've obtained the grace of God to be empowered to do the impossible. And I celebrate in hope that God's glory is going to flow not just to me, but through me. And it's going to transform the earth. It's going to transform the world. Which tells me celebration is important. What you celebrate is actually what you empower. What you celebrate is what you empower. Celebration is a form of honor. And the scriptures say if you honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive their reward. If you celebrate a prophet, who they are, the calling, the gifting, the things that are on their life, you can receive the grace that's on their life that can flow to your life. You can receive the grace from them. And so in the same way, if I'm going, God, I want you to do some amazing things in my family, in my heart, in my society, in the nations around me, I need to celebrate, Lord, because you are good. You will do what you say you're going to do because you are who you say you are. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to honor that. I'm going to honor the glory that is coming and has already come. We don't need a church that's going, you know what that church is? And look, I'm going to be very careful here. I love the church. It hacks me off when I hear preachers go out and start bagging on the body in the church and all this or that. That's dishonor and that's not celebration. Okay? But let me tell you, though, the implications of if we don't learn to celebrate his goodness and what's happening, we will be like the bridesmaids that didn't get into the wedding party because we forgot our oil at home. And I'm not going to dive into that. If you don't know what that scripture is, it's talking about some of the end time stuff. I don't want to go there, but there's this point of there was 10 bridesmaids, 5 had enough oil, and when the bridegroom came, they were ready to celebrate. They were invited into the party, and the glory of God flew. And then instead, there was 5 that didn't have it. They go, oh, we didn't bring any oil, because why? They weren't ready to celebrate. They didn't have the stance. They weren't ready to stand in the glory and the hope of the Lord. And so therefore, when the time came, they were missing out on what God wanted to do. And I'm just telling you, let's be ready. The world is looking. Is there anybody in the earth that has hope? Is there anybody? That's what the earth, that's what society is asking right now. And when you show up, it's not that you're not going to face some pushback or tribulation or trial, any of those things. But what I am telling you is, if you're rooted and you're firmly standing in that ground of hope and grace, it won't matter what they say. You've closed the door of the enemy being able to influence you anymore because Jesus is inside of it. So look what it says here. Verse 3, not only this, which tells me that was great, but it sounds like an infomercial. You don't only get just this, but you get this. Look what it says. We also celebrate in tribulations. And the crowd went, boo. wait a minute. I can celebrate in glory. I can celebrate in hope. I can celebrate in faith. I can celebrate the good things. And now you want me to celebrate in tribulations? That's a different thing. Now, here's the interesting thing about this Greek word for tribulations. I love the Greek because the Greek, English will use the same stinking word, and we don't necessarily know the context, but Greek will use the different word for the same English words. The Greek word here for tribulations has nothing to do with external tribulation or trial. Has nothing to do with outside of your heart, pressures that you're going to get from the outside world or persecutions. It's an internal word. It's actually the word philippus. It means pressure. What constricts or rubs together? It becomes a narrow place that hems you in. It's an internal pressure. And so listen to what this says now. Not only this, but we celebrate when we are constricted. When we come to a narrow place. When there's this pressure internally where we have no other choice. And that tribulation, listen to what it says. We celebrate in our tribulations knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Yeah. And perseverance, proven character, hope. And so here's the thing on this thing is going on. We need to be constricted sometimes in our heart because it's the goodness of God, kindness of God that leads you to repentance. And sometimes what he does is he will narrow every option that you have. And maybe it is some external circumstances that you have that are causing you to go like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. How am I going to process this emotionally? How am I supposed to process this psychologically? What am I supposed to do with this? But it's not the tribulation external that's doing it. There's an in-world moment where you're having to go, I have no other choice than this to persevere in what? The proven character of God. I used to read this verse and says, tribulation produces perseverance and perseverance produces proven character. And I read, oh, that means when I go through a hard season and I persevere through it, I'm going to grow in the character that actually knew how to pull myself up by the bootstraps, to toughen up, to suck it up, whatever it may be. Proven character is what it would end up doing in that place. And this is not what it's saying. Remember, we're talking about the hope of the Lord, the confident expectation that God is who he says he is, that he'll do what he says he's going to do. And he says this, and there's going to be these moments inside your own heart that are actually going to begin to constrict you, that are going to challenge and squeeze out the areas you don't actually believe he's good, it's going to be constricted. The areas where you go, I don't know if I can trust him with this, it's going to be constricted. And in that place, when you learn, you have no other option but to trust in the Lord. How am I going to pay this bill? I have no other option than trust in the Lord. I've exhausted every human thing I can do. I don't know what I'm going to do. How is my loved one going to be made well? I have no other option but the Lord. How's this relationship going to reconcile? I have no other option but the Lord. If I learn to begin to persevere in the goodness of God in that moment, what happens is this. He proves his character to you. What am I standing on? I don't need him. Do you hear what I'm saying? He doesn't have to prove anything to you. This word proven has to do with it's been tested out, it's been weighed out, it's been found to be pure and perfect. We sing this name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the perfect Lamb, the perfect name of God. He's powerful. He's loving. He's kind in all of his ways. Right? His character has already been weighed out and proven by who he is. And in this place of perseverance, when I'm going like, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to turn, but I do know I'm coming to you. And I'm going to what? Celebrate. Let me hear you say celebrate. If you can celebrate in hope of the glory, you certainly can celebrate in a place when your heart's constricted because you know what's about to happen. Like you know, God's going to show up. Here's the picture. Israel is brought out of Egypt. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh goes, what did I do? And he sends the armies after them. They were slaves for 400 years. They were not battle-tested people at all. And they're carrying a bunch of gold and silver that the Egyptians gave to them for their travels. And they're going and they get to what? The Red Sea. And they're constricted down to a moment. And they begin to go, what are we going to do? Moses, why did you lead us out of here? Like, can we just, what are we going to do? We're going to die. And in that moment, the Lord says, basically, will you trust me? Will you persevere in the word I already gave you? You're at the what? The red stinking sea, man. This is the place, the blood of Jesus. You get to the place where the blood is your only option. And what does he do? He parts the seas. He parts his river and he says, come on through. And then when the enemy comes in, what happens to the enemy? The enemy is destroyed by the Red Sea. The enemy is destroyed by the blood of Jesus. That's why you celebrate. That's when we come into this place. I know all that stuff's going on, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe some of us need a heart adjustment, and the Lord loves you enough to put you in this place where you're going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel uncomfortable. I'm kind of feeling down. And the devil's going to try to convince you you did something wrong or you are something wrong. Instead of the Lord is coming to you and going, hey, this is your moment of freedom. I love you so much if you will distrust in my proven character. And look what it says this. Now, come back. Let's read this again. Verse 3. Not only this, we celebrate in our tribulations knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. You eat a hope sandwich. Is what you end up doing. You celebrate in the hope of the glory of God, and now we're coming back around. As I've gone through, all I've done is increased in my confident expectation that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he says he's going to do. Maybe you're in an area or season where you've never, ever seen God come through for a particular situation, and you don't have a testimony of how he's come through for that. And as you persevere in the middle of that, on the flip side of it, you're going to turn around and go, man, my hope is even greater. I have even greater confidence, even greater expectation that God's who he says he is and that he'll do what he says he's going to do. And now I'm ready to tell other people about it. Because there's other people who don't know this. They're either lost, and there's a bunch of saved people that haven't known this either. Because the theology they've been taught was that you're saved by grace that made you a saint, and it's going to, pardon my French, but it's going to really suck until Jesus raptures you or you die. Is that the gospel? No. It's so incomplete. It's so incomplete. That gospel will never transform society. That's why it's not about a rapture that comes rescue a beat up bride. It's Jesus coming back and going, yes, yeah, this is the body that looks like my head. Yeah, this is the body that's my bride. Yes, I can kick some butt with this thing. Right? Just coming back in and take over and let's rest in this. Look what it says. We're going to read this verse 3 again. And not only this, we celebrate in our tribulations knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. And this hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Again, the sandwich, you've already obtained this faith, you've already obtained the Holy Spirit, but there's some process that you have to go through that's actually going to bring your heart into alignment with what your born-again spirit actually looks like right now in this moment. And when you go through this trial that's in an internal trial, this is why some people, one trial, external trial, will phase one person differently than another one. Why? Because there's something internally that somebody's gone through, they're like, this is nothing. This is nothing. There's things we've gone through in ministry that 10 years ago, it would have crushed me. But now I'm like, this is nothing. Why? Because I've actually gone through an internal process to step into the glory of God that actually proves his character inside of my heart. Now, my heart actually does look like his heart in a different way. And now I have greater hope and greater expectation of what he's going to do. Why? Because he's pouring out his Holy Spirit inside of me. So he fills you, you go through a trial, and he fills you again. Jesus is baptized. Holy Spirit descends. Luke chapter 4 says, and the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. During that place, the infilling the Spirit he received allows his heart, mind, will, and emotions to continue to stay in perfect relationship with his Father, allows him to withstand the tribulation. What was the tribulation that Jesus was going through? It was an internal tribulation. Will you deny your Father? Will you actually bow down and worship the enemy? Will you actually lay down your assignment? It was an internal thing, and Jesus persevered in the middle of that tribulation. And in that tribulation, he came out even more confident in his Father's plan and who he is to be able to carry it out. And he had a hope that didn't disappoint, because as the Holy Spirit's flowing through him, it says, now led from the Spirit, he began to heal the sick and cast out demons. And all he prayed for were actually healed. This is the continuation of the gospel. So my question for you is, what trial or tribulation have you allowed to be defined as the impossible thing? What trial or tribulation you're going through do you need to begin to celebrate? Because you know God has already given you something. You've already obtained faith in Christ. You've already obtained a grace that you can stand in. And what I'm going to tell you is, whatever trial it is right now, stand firm right now. Not because you're trying to resist something, but because you actually stop resisting the Lord and say, I have no other option. Sometimes it says resist the devil and he'll flee, and there's no devil to resist. Because the trial is not the devil's making. It's the Lord, and you're resisting what you think is the devil, and it's actually the Lord saying, I love you so much. Will you actually give me your heart even more and even more and even more? Will you trust me so I can trust you with more? So I can transform you? What is that trial? What does that look like? Can you begin to celebrate that and allow grace? See, hope is not stirred up inside of you. This is why hype doesn't work in the church. We've been taught to go to sporting events, and we can hype things up, and we can get really, really excited, but it doesn't transform a stinking thing, does it? My team wins, my team loses, I've got a high for a moment, it's a temporary high, and I go back to my regular life. But what I'm telling you is, this is the grace that God has given me, allows me to stay in a continual state of celebration of every moment. So Paul says this, I've learned to do with little or much. What was his answer? Because I've learned to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I would propose to you, the same guy who wrote that is the same guy that wrote this. Paul's telling the Romans, this is my process. You want to know how to persevere like I persevere? You want to know how the faith that I have to shake mountains? This is the process right here. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. So I want you to stand up with me. And I just want you to close your eyes. Just get yourself positioned. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me personally today? Just take a moment and really listen. As you're there, I want you to begin to thank him for the grace you've already obtained. If you've never been born again, you don't know what I'm talking about, because you don't know what it's like to be justified by grace. The Bible talks about through one man, Adam, all of humanity fell into rejection and separation from God, called sin. But through one man, Christ Jesus, humanity was given the opportunity to reconnect to the Father of life and become born again and saved. This isn't about getting yourself to heaven. This is about allowing the King of heaven to transform you and to live in you and through you. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you right now, just make that commitment. Obtain the introduction to the grace that empowers you to live the way that God created you for. Just right where you are, make this very, very personal to everyone in the room right now. If the Lord showed you a tribulation and you're beginning to recognize he's wanting to do something from the inside out in your own way right now, will you just celebrate in your heart this tribulation? Part of the way we do that is we just repent. We just say, God, I'm sorry for looking at this tribulation as something from the enemy or something that was not for my good. I just repent of that now, but I choose to agree with your goodness and your hope. And I celebrate in the hope of your glory. And I celebrate in this internal pressure, this tribulation I'm facing right now, because I know it's for my good. So I obtained faith and grace. So I apply the faith. I apply the grace that you've given me to persevere in this moment where I will not shrink back, but instead I will surrender totally to you. Thank you, God, that your character is always proven. But in this area of my life, Lord God, will you show me again? Will you prove out again just how good you are in this moment? I pray for breakthrough internally. Until my thoughts are your thoughts, my ways are your ways, my feelings and emotions are your feelings and emotions, Lord God. My desires are your desires. Thank you for proving out your character and that your hope is expanding, that, Lord, I'm going to grow more confident than ever in the expectation that you are always who you say you are and you always do what you say you're going to do. Because I've already received the love that you poured out in my heart through the Holy Spirit. I just thank you, Lord God, right now. And just declare this in the mighty name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen, amen. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Come on now.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.